Good Monday morning. Happy Memorial Day. Thanks for tuning in on KXEV KRNW. This is Spoofhound Spotlight. We're talking all things Maryville School District with Interim Superintendent Philip Porn. I'm Matt Tritt, and we want to start by saying thanks to all the servicemen and women, those that have spent time in the military and first responders, and just so many that dedicate their time to keeping us safe, both locally but abroad as well. And Philip, I know that's one thing we'll hit on right away. Every year there are folks that come through the Maryville School District that do pursue careers within the military, so it's kind of cool to see what they do once they leave Maryville, but those that extend that service to our country, that's awfully special.
We have a lot of students that year in and year out either participate in some way, shape, or form on their campus through an ROTC type program, or they join the military. Had a conversation with my daughter on a run this morning. Aiden McAtee, he is a Maryville Spoofhound alum. Also, for the listeners over toward Chillicothe, that name, he's a Trenton guy. They moved here when he was in high school, but he is in the National Guard and very active that way. So we have a lot of students, whether it's them or their families, that are active in the military in some way, shape, or form. Plus, we have many great first responders that help us out school district-wise. I want to give a shout-out to Ian Myers, our SRO. Had a chance last week to sit on an emergency planning committee through our county. It brought a lot of different groups to the table to talk about some emergency management if and when it was needed. So, you know, we live in a county that is also cognizant of the need to be ready on a first alert type of response team. And, you know, it's always great to say it's great to be an American.
Exactly right, Philip. And we look at it, it's a long weekend, of course. Most folks off today. We think about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A lot of folks take it for a long weekend. Not these Maryville Spoofhounds. A lot of athletic teams, despite school being out already, very active, playing into the postseason, starting off track out at state over the weekend.
Track qualified 18 for state in Jeff City this last weekend. Coach Beatty continues to grow that program, and it has been a lot of fun to see those kids through the years continue to develop and continue to be successful on the track and on the field. Great support from their families to attend their meets. Going to Jeff City earlier in the year, we were able to host the MEC Conference. We got a sweep on that. Both boys and girls walk away with the MEC Conference titles. Girls win the sectional title. And state, just another opportunity to show the growth of this Maryville program and what it can do on a state level to get some recognition here in Maryville. So super proud of our track and field qualifiers. We also had just a wonderful spring season in general in tennis. Kyler Skidmore, Will Scheel finished third in state doubles. That's the highest that a doubles team has ever finished in Maryville history. You've got the Spoofhound golf team. They took fifth place at state. That's a massive accomplishment. Brenda Ricks continues to just churn out some amazing golfers. And then you look at what's happened through our soccer program. Last week, hosting districts, I was able to go to the Chillicothe game that they played. They won that 3-1, played Kirksville, and the championship game. That team, led by Stephanie Ingram and Matt Steckline, continues to grow and improve. Lots of athletes on that field. And, you know, if I would just take one step back and you look at that program as a whole, I would say hats off to a guy named Randy Buck and J.R. Kurz. Those gentlemen coach those Twisters girls and play competitively down in Kansas City, get them ready to do the things that they do on the pitch in Maryville. Winning is just second nature to them because they've had such great coaching at that early level to learn those fundamentals. Those guys spend a lot of time with them down in the city, getting them paired up against some really good competition. But it shows when they are playing district type of championship games and then moving on to hopefully, you know, some state level type competition.
And I do feel like at times we do overlook soccer, both boys and girls, because they have been so successful through the years that it's something you kind of become accustomed to. But you're right, it starts at a young age, and you see that within the soccer program there with the girls, with what you mentioned, what they've done to this point. You also look through, you mentioned that that golf team finishing fifth at state, four seniors really leading the charge there. And you think about those boys that are being coached by Brenda Ricks throughout, they got their start on the Watson 9, back when that was pretty freshly minted out at Mazingo Lake, and kind of really gained some traction there. They learned from the upperclassmen above them, and all of a sudden they have Maryville paving their way, as you mentioned, fifth at state, and just continuing to be great on the links. Maryville baseball didn't win a district title, but they did make a nice push, and you saw them with a lot of growth as the season went along, too.
Absolutely. Their season ended at the hands of Savannah, 4-5, I believe it was, loss in the district semifinal. And that does bring us into, again, pulling in those Chillicothe listeners. Chillicothe beat Savannah last night 11-1 to take the district championship. And, Matt, I've said it before, we lived over there for 10 years. And just like I would tell you, our soccer program developed at a young age, our golf program developed at a young age. There's a couple guys, Ryan Cramner and Aaron Wagers. Those were the guys that took the seniors from Chillicothe and down. They were coaching them as little league kids, and they were challenging them in some big tournaments to grow and get better and teach those fundamentals. And so, as you mentioned, we have the inputs at a young age, and we see the results as they continue to develop. And it starts with those fundamentals. Unless you're a kid like, you know, like Mace McKim, who is, you know, throwing the shot at 53 feet. And, you know, I don't know, a 12-pound shot, I'm not sure I could throw it from here to the end of the room. And we're in like a 10-foot area,
small room, right?
Small room. But he's throwing that thing 53 feet at sectionals, a personal record. Of course, Mace is 6'6", 295 pounds, too. But he comes by that naturally.
Right.
There's some family genetics playing a role in that one.
The genetics are big, but you got to be a good learner, right? You have to learn the proper technique to be able to get that out there. Like, it's not just the size. And so what Mace is doing is incredible. You talk about the basics, learning the fundamentals, and get that base layer at a young age and learn from good coaches. That kind of rolls into something that we already see happening right now in Maryville. There's going to be a lot of camps for young kids as we go throughout. Last week, it was boys basketball. Matt Steckline, very busy, of course, with girls soccer, helping out Stephanie Ingram. He was also out hosting camps for elementary kids up through junior high kids at the high school in the FEMA gym. And you're kind of seeing them learn some of those fundamentals, but also walk away having a fun time and wanting to come back to the court the next day.
It's kind of laying that spoofhound culture at such a young age. And, you know, that's a camp that you saw. Currently, we're in summer. It seems like a natural time for camps. But the other thing that these coaches do is a good job of getting them interested and excited about those sports, even throughout the course of the year. So Lori Talley runs our GO program. She's out there getting all sorts of grants to be able to pay these coaches to have opportunities for these kids on a Friday afternoon in February to get them excited about being a spoofhound, whether that be basketball, a football camp. Coach Webb just had a kind of a football seminar with some kids about a month ago out there on the new Hound Pound turf. And so those opportunities just kind of get littered along the way for our students to know what it is to be a spoofhound.
This is something we could probably go in deeper once we get into the fall and a little bit later into school. Of course, we're hitting summer now, but Lori Talley, the GO program, the after-school program. So if, you know, you got to work a little bit later, your kid's going to hang out at EFES for a while longer. It's a chance for them to hang around and be safe, to hang out with their friends, to learn, but also get some really great opportunities. That GO program, I feel like, and Lori especially, very underrated for the work that they're putting in.
For sure. And the other piece of that is we utilize students that are typically in the College of Education here at Northwest, a great partnership there, to supervise those GO students. So it's not only good for our GO students to have someone to look up to, someone in about their 20, 21-year-old kind of range, kind of feel like a big brother, big sister, but it's also great for the Northwest students to get an opportunity to work around students in a slightly unstructured environment compared to the school setting. Boy, I'll tell you, as a teacher, that's where you get your best tips and tricks, is when you're working with students after school in a somewhat unstructured environment compared to the classroom, you learn how to manage and monitor students in a unique and pretty special way.
You're tuned into Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV KLRNW, talking with Interim Superintendent Philip Porn. I'm Matt Tritton. Philip, we've kind of talked about athletically what's gone on since school finished up on May 9th. One thing, though, away from the court, away from the diamond, away from the track and field, but still competition for Maryville. Tessa Main is racking up wins of her own.
Tessa Main is racking up the wins when it comes to the Optimist Oratorical Contest. this young lady who is transitioning from an eighth grade to a ninth grade year, right? So she'll be a freshman at the high school. Tom Alvarez, Kate Leidner, trying to determine which one of them gets credit for all her success, right? So she is going to be a freshman, and she is competing at a level against even high school seniors and continues to walk away with awards and recognition. So just about a week or so ago, she was down at the Lake of the Ozarks competing in the West kind of region oratorical competition, walks away a winner. She's going to be headed to St. Louis for the state level competition in June with her eyes set for the potential of the world championships, also in St. Louis. Those will occur July 18th and 19th. So stay tuned. We'll give you some updates along the way, but this young lady is well on her way to representing Maryville in a way that I don't know that we've ever done before.
Regardless of the sport, competition, whatever it is, the best of the best have an it factor, right? To be able to get up in front of an audience, in front of judges, and to sit there and say something and say it with conviction and not just be pouring sweat and the knees weak and, you know, the Eminem song, everything that goes with that. But you get the idea, like, that is a special presence to be able to get up in front of people and deliver a message the way that she does.
Yeah, so she's giving a 4 to 5 minute speech, and she's absolutely flawless in her delivery. And so you and I have a unique privilege of getting to see her in other avenues where she is out in front of people and doing her thing. And just that confidence that she has in herself, obviously, comes from good stock. Her parents have to be some good folks if she's got that ability to continue to perform in an environment where all eyes are on you. And my biggest worry, Matt, is that you're going to dump me on Friday nights for somebody that can speak very well in Tessa Maine, and she's going to become your commentary guy on Friday footballs.
Well, she is a terrific musician, a great speaker. That's kind of the funny part, though, when we sit down for this, or we sit down on a Friday night for a football game, and like we can't get out of our own way, just stuttering and stammering. And then you've got this kid who's going into a freshman year, is tremendous at it.
Sideline reporter. I heard that gig's up for grabs.
She knows football.
Yes, she does. She does.
Kate Leidner, Tom Alvarez kind of fighting for who gets the credit. Maybe it goes back to the elementary principal. Who's that?
It should have. It absolutely should have gone to the elementary principal. I got to be her elementary principal both when we were both in Chillicothe and then when she was in Maryville. I do think that there's room to give a little credit to Marty Nolte. She's the librarian over at the middle school, and she's kind of been leading the charge on this. So she is certainly churning the waters from below, and we don't necessarily see that, but want to give her some credit as well. She's a tremendous asset to our district.
This is Spoof Hound Spotlight here on KXCV KLRNW, talking all things Maryville School District. We'll take a quick break and be back with more here on 90.5 and 88.9. Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring the Conference Center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday morning, and happy Memorial Day, everyone, tuning in here today with Philip Porn. I'm Matt Tritton. This is Spoof Hound Spotlight, as we are talking all things Maryville School District. Of course, an ongoing subject the last couple years, from passing the bond and now actually underway. Construction, school got out May 9th. Philip, obviously part of that is to kind of get things rolling so we are ready to go for the fall. Just a quick update on where things are at.
So our substantial completion date is August the 6th. We feel at this point that we are on target to meet that date, which would then allow us to obviously open school in time. The issue is we're juggling a lot of different projects. J.E. Dunn is our general contractor for both the elementary work and the high school work. Right now at the high school, we're doing asbestos abatement. That should be over by the end of next week, or hopefully maybe even the end of this week. But we'll be able to get that out of the way, and then the real construction from J.E. Dunn can begin. That's going to be some safety and security as far as some entry points, a new office being built in the high school cafeteria, and that will become a main entrance, a more secure entrance for us. Also, if you come to a volleyball game this fall, you will have a new entry into the gym, and that's going to be a really spectacular thing for the Spoofhounds to showcase their athletic prowess, their academic prowess. We're going to recreate how we display some of our trophies, awards, etc. That whole area gets revamped. And then at the elementary, we're again on track. We've got kind of three different areas. The old area, the two-story, the bottom floor was finished in December. We moved teachers into that. The upper is getting renovated, and they're getting ready to put, you know, obviously some final touches on that. The new building, Building B, is the two-story that was reconstructed after the MECC was raised. So they've got that building going on. They're putting final touches on that, obviously. And then the big one is behind the cafeteria. That's getting a full renovation. And that's where we're keeping an eye on what kind of things they might run into as far as contingencies. But right now, again, on track, on budget, very excited about that. Then the middle school is also getting touched. We've got learning labs that are getting tore out. We're going to recreate those. And their HVA system is getting a complete remodel and upgrade. That's happening through the Helm Group down in Kansas City. That work started before the school year got out. I don't know what your plans are this summer, Matt, but if you've got to spend any time at the middle school, bring your deodorant, because the air is going to be off. It's going to be awfully hot in there. So that building,
that's the only time I should worry about it.
That's the only time you should worry about your deodorant, other than when we're doing Friday night football games, like in August, September. But that area, we'll have to shut down power. We'll have to shut down AC. So folks that might be working in there are going to be relocated. If they're office folks, if they're custodians, we're just going to make sure they're fully hydrated in the heat of the summer. That project, again, is well underway. Andy Spire won our concrete bid contract. If you drive around the schools, you'll see that there's a lot of concrete being replaced right now. So just a lot of work happening. Our maintenance crew, they're so good at what they do. They're very handy. They're working on projects at the Learning Center, taking down a wall, building a wall back up. They're helping out with the middle school project. Yesterday, there's some outdoor projects that are happening that was getting done in full force. So everyone's just kind of busy doing their thing. And then we'll come back together in August and open some school spaces, get the community involved. We want to make sure that we welcome them into our spaces as well to kind of show off some of the work that we've done.
The maintenance staff, the faculty, the rest of the staff within the school, and of course the community. Some growing pains along the way. You expect that, but boy, it'll be nice to see everything get finished up. Hopefully the August 6th, everything off and rolling. But once it hits, you know, boom, pack those classrooms, get moved in, and the kids are going to be back in a hurry.
Yeah, it seems like July 4th, once that holiday is over, everything kind of shifts to let's start thinking about the school year. So we will definitely be in that same mindset and figuring out what we need to do to make the transition back into our buildings as smooth as possible for our students, teachers, and for our families.
School board meeting last Wednesday, one of the things discussed there, facility usage. So if folks wanted to get out and maybe rent one of the fields or take some time to have a travel team practice or maybe host a tournament, whatever it is, just a few things changing with that. Give us a quick update.
So our facilities, we obviously upgraded those over the course of last summer. New turf on the football field, new turf out the baseball softball complex there. We have folks that want to utilize those, and we want them to be able to utilize those. So we're looking at fee structures that make sense. We're looking at how we can define different groups and their usage. So the board annually sets that policy, reviews that policy. So that's where we are at with our community use of facilities policy. Looked at it last week, and then we'll continue to kind of peek at that through the months of June and July in hopes that when the school year kicks off in August, we're ready to roll that out to the community, have conversations with folks we, you know use our facilities quite a bit. But you couple those new baseball, football stadiums with the use of our Performing Arts Center, which is still just a tremendous facility. Those things don't just run themselves. So you've got to look at how you are going to sustain the maintenance on those. And we feel like we've got some plans in place for us to be able to do that, but still make it nice and equitable for people to be able to use our facilities.
And it is something great to be able to show off like that. And love seeing folks get those opportunities. But again, have to do it to where it's still benefiting the school and the kids that are there from September through May. So
absolutely. And we talked before that, you know, Northwest has a great bunch of facilities as well. And, you know, folks are able to use their facilities as long as there's not a team needing it, right, or someone else has rented it. So we'll follow their lead on that. We want people to be able to take advantage of our great facilities, but we'll just look at that policy. It's always been there. We just need to update it.
And finally, one last thing we want to hit on, but not a small thing by any means, but some retirees for the district able to get some nice recognition at that board meeting.
Yeah, you know, there's some people that would say they wouldn't last 94 minutes in a public school, right? These folks collectively have 94 years of experience just in the Maryville R2 school district. Two that I'm very familiar with, Lee Beth Alsop and Stephanie Durbin, between them, 42 years of experience in the district. Lee Beth, a Title I reading teacher, and Stephanie Durbin, our office manager. They were mine down at Eugene Field. Janice Gray retires from a science teacher position after 12 years with district. Ron Wiederholt, 16 years with collision repair at the tech school. Amy Wolf, 13 years, most recently as an interventionist and teacher. And then Rory Jackson's leaving us as the NTS counselor. He's headed over to Northeast Nottoway. He's been with the district for 11 years. And so our practice is to recognize retirees and those that have 10 years or more. We also have contracted services with Lunchtime Solutions and Jarnik Bus Company. Amber Volner has been with us for a couple of contracts with Lunchtime Solutions. Because of some contract things, she can't work with our new food service company, so we definitely want to thank her and wish her the best. And then David Dredge has run our bus barn for the last couple of years, and he will be retiring from Jarnik Bus Company. And as I said at the board meeting, you think about the number of lives that he's touched running an effective bus barn and all the things that he does for our district and our students. We sure appreciate David Dredge and wish him the best in retirement.
Some pretty special careers here through Maryville's folks, wrapping it up, moving on to the next chapter in their lives and kind of putting a bow here on 2025, if you will, as we do head into the summer. We cross Memorial Day and barrel toward June and full on summer. So Philip, thanks so much for coming by, chatting with me here today on Spoofhound Spotlight. And maybe we should do it again next month.
I think that would be fantastic. I enjoy coming over and talking to you about all great things going on with the Spoofhounds.
That is Maryville Interim Superintendent Philip Horan joining us here on Spoofhound Spotlight. I'm Matt Tritton. This is KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, kawasakimaryville.com.